Hello, team. We are back for another preview podcast. Massive game against the Saints coming up this week. Can we get our first win of the season? I have no idea. But to help preview that game coming up, we have it's podcasting royalty. It's like AFL fan channel royalty, Saints TV. So we've got Jake from Saints TV coming up in just a couple of minutes to preview the game, which is incredibly exciting. Another good chat talking about would you rather be North Melbourne or St Kilda right now, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, we dive deep and it's a fun chat. So I'll throw that out in a second. I have not looked at the team lineups obviously yet, so I'll react to that as soon as we're back from the interview. Really looking for some massive changes this week. I don't think there will be. Clarkson doesn't seem like that sort of operator, but I'd like a shake-up. I would love that. I've actually got a team that I've written down that I would like to see. Now, there's too many changes to be realistic, but I've tried to keep some parts of it sort of realistic and sort of not. So we'll go through that after. But look, let's throw to the interview now. We've got all of that and some other talking points, some quotes from Eddie McGuire and the members Q&A as well, which we'll talk about a tiny bit after the interview. So here's Jake and myself for the preview and enjoy, guys. I'll see you back here very, very soon. So welcome back, everybody. Another very special guest on the preview podcast today. We've got Jake from Saints TV. Thank you very much for coming on, mate. How's your day been so far?
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me on. Big game this week for both clubs. Monday's always a bit of a tricky day, setting up the week, getting all the content ready for the game, plus work on top of that. But it's good to end it on a good note with yourself. So thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, mate. Tell us a bit about Saints TV then. Tell us what you do, how it started and how it's going.
Yeah, it's going really well at the moment. I started it in 2018, just a place for myself to really vent. Very selfish reason for it, but we've been pretty average our whole history, and I got a bit fed up with the way we were going and needed somewhere to go and share my thoughts and hopefully find some like-minded Saints as well. Turns out there's quite a few from back then that were quite frustrated and needed a place to go. And the community's kind of grown a little bit over the years. And just love making content, love sharing my thoughts. I don't claim to be an expert at all, but I guess, you know, fans make the game and it's good to chat to fans over the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's good that, you know, sort of fan podcasts and things are so popular now because I think, you know, a lot of us maybe got a bit disenfranchised by the media, or we can find it a bit repetitive, or maybe don't always know what to believe. And sometimes people just want to hear what fellow fans are thinking. I know for myself that, you know, North being a pretty small club, there wasn't much discourse. I never really had mates that went for North. I grew up in Tassie and had a couple of mates, but then when I moved up here, until I started the pod sort of a year and a half ago, I didn't have heaps of mates who followed North. So it's good, like you said, to be able to make a bit of a community, and there is actually a lot more like-minded fans of our teams out there, and it's good that we give them a platform, I guess.
Absolutely. And I don't know from your side how it is at the moment with all the fans, but from my side, it's a bit nervous. Bit nervous, not too frustrated yet, but probably hasn't gone. The start of the season hasn't gone the way we wanted, but it makes the week easier, doesn't it? Like after a loss, after a win, to be able to chat and talk footy. So it's been great.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously our start to the season has not been very good at all, and definitely like yourself, are different spectrums at the moment. But you know, we weren't hoping for much. But we were hoping for improvement. And if anything, we've got a bit of regression, unfortunately. And could you regress past, you know, two or three wins a year? Apparently so. So, look, we're both not very optimistic, but I think at least you guys are starting to move up the ladder a little bit. Or, you know, I understand it hasn't been the best start, but, you know, I could still see you sort of making it or pushing for it. I think you've got a solid enough team. Have you got the team to be able to make it into the finals and do some damage? I'm not sure, but I mean, I'm jealous of where you're at regardless, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, no, we are in different parts of the spectrum, and it's interesting. It's a good weird time for the game to happen because there's been a lot of talk about North's list and the amount of top 10 draft picks you had. I think Jay Clark had an article today, and we might be linked to LDU, which I'm sure a million other clubs are going to be linked to him, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of jealous that you have him. I think he's one player that would make us better. Larky also. So you've got
we've got him locked away, mate. Don't think about Larky. Don't touch him.
I know. he always stitches us up. He always kills us. I mean, he's a very good player and all Australian. So yeah, he's one player that I'd be nervous about this week, but wouldn't mind him in Saints colours at some point. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it is interesting. I guess this is just the thing of being on the bottom of the ladder. Like the amount of articles I'm seeing just trying to hyper-analyze all the things that sort of have already been talked about, but bringing them all back to the surface over the last few years. And it's not like we don't deserve that because we're pretty bad. But, you know, I've always found it a very interesting argument of people talking about how many picks we've had and how much help we've had. Cause I don't really believe it's as much as say the general public would think or what it's made out to be. Like as an example, I'm pretty sure our priority pick last year, our first round priority pick didn't get picked until the mid second round because of all of the father sons and academies and things like that. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure that's quite the help that everyone thinks we got. I'm not saying it's not good and all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? But you know, even not having access to, and I've talked about this a lot on the pod, so I won't ramble on, but like not having access to a lot of father sons, you know, the 2 years we had the number one pick were Dacos and Ashcroft, and they just went to the two teams that played in the grand final. So, you know, it's a bit of a broken system. And yeah, we got pick three from Mackay, but I mean, that's just kind of the rule as well. And that's not help. That's just the rule that everyone gets, like when Danny went to the Lions. So look, we've got a lot of stuff and we should be doing way better with what we have had, but I'm not as convinced we've had as much help as I'd say the general public would think, you know what I mean?
So what's the main issue? Cause I've only watched a handful, like I'll be honest, a couple of games, North games this year. So I'm not really too into it, but what's the main issue? Is it a game plan? Is it an attitude? I think last week or the week before, there was a lot of focus on the attitude. Maybe it was the Hawthorn game, actually. The attitude, the application, whether they even wanted to turn up. You know, is that the big issue? Is it players that look like maybe they're half out the door or they're just sick of losing and they just can't be stuffed? What's the main issue?
I'd say it's something like that. For me, the two things that stick out is probably the game plan and the recruiting. You know, Brady Rawlings years ago made a statement, or the club sort of made a statement, that we're looking to build from the midfield out. And that always confused me, maybe because midfielders can be good within a year or two, but key position players, it's usually 3 to 5 years. And it seems like the wrong way to do it. You know, when you look over the list, you know, Tristan Sherry, Larky, and I'll throw Charlie Compton in there because I think he's been really good down back. Other than that, we've got no one who's above 185 centimeters, who's much good, to be honest. We're a very small, light-framed team, so I don't really feel like we can do too much. Sort of around the ball, we get bullied very, very easy. So I'd say recruiting is the biggest thing. Game plan-wise, this North Bowl thing of trying to move it really quick, we just don't have the players to do it. And I'm not sure what the go is with that, because we sort of half play it now. We sort of half don't. Like, we seem to be trying to take possession more in the back half and control it, but it doesn't lead to us reducing the scores of other teams and things. So, yeah, they're probably the ones I'd put my finger on, but there's so many, mate. Like, you know, we've got plenty of defensive options, but are any of them really that good? Yeah, recruitment for me and game plan doesn't seem to be working, but we are right in the pits. And, you know, I've said to the listeners on the pod here that it's probably 3 to 5 years before we even think about competing for finals. And, you know, when we look at other teams like the D's and even the Blues and the Tigers, you know, they were 10 plus year sort of things as well. And a lot of my mates sort of tell me, oh, it turns quick, mate. It turns quick. It turns quick for teams who maybe just fell out of the finals and then comes back.
Yeah.
You know, Richmond say it turned quick. Well, it didn't. Richmond were bad all through the 2000s until 2017.
They were.
So, you know,
and even Brisbane.
Really, yeah, for sure. 100%. So I'm not really convinced on this turns quick thing. I think we're in this for the next 3 to 5. And, you know, then I think we'll hopefully, when Shees, Wardlaw, those guys are in their mid 20s and we've drafted well from now on over the next 3 to 5 years, then we can build something, because we're not going to get those big free agents. And it is those things like if LDU goes to you or something like that, can we hold on to those guys? And that's the part where I worry, but we have sort of done that as well. Mm. Like Zerha did sign. We've locked up a lot, like Larky and Simkin, even though he's not having a good year, you know, Powell and Wardlaw and Sheezer. We've have locked up these guys. So yeah, look, that's what I would put it down to, mate. But you know, they always find a way to give me a new problem to digest. And what's your outlook been from the outside looking in?
Slight bewilderment, to be honest, because, I think you've actually got quite a bit of talent there to use. So yeah. I'm almost, you know, surprised that you've kept playing a bit of that fast brand of football. I feel like that, you know, it's exciting to watch when it works, but then for the majority of the time, it just makes you so easy to score against.
Absolutely.
And I feel like, I don't know, Ross Lyon would probably win you more games. They wouldn't be as exciting, but you would be defensively sound. And I feel like maybe that element is lacking a little bit. Like you've got the firepower to kick some scores, you know, like Larky and Zerha. I love Zerha when he's up and about. And I wish, again, he's one that even last year or the year before, I think before he signed, I thought, yeah, I think he's this type of player that could be that third tall for us, but roam into the midfield and be a bigger body for us because we don't really have that explosive mid. But yeah, I just feel like a slight tinker of the game plan instead of having just, it seems like, yeah, that's the one plan A, and that's, you know, you live by your sword, you die by your sword, basically. Mm. Yeah, but from the outside looking in, I kind of am worried too because I'm like, they're not going to go a whole season without winning a game, like surely. Like that hasn't been done.
Oh, if
I mean, when was the last time? Melbourne, when they were like absolutely shit, was it Was it Mark Neal? Is that the coach?
Dean someone?
But they won I know who you're talking about. Mm. And they won like what, two or three games or something, and that was like bad. You're gonna win a gap. Like you'll win a couple of gaps.
Jeez,
like
I hope so.
That happened. you will. And it's like even some I'm in a WhatsApp group and like some Saners are like, what if we cough this one up? Like, because last year we played you twice last year and there were shocking games. The first one,
I remember
we kicked like one or two goals to halftime. We missed a lot of shots and it could have been a blowout, but it wasn't. We won by 5 goals. And then the second time, we had to come from behind, if you remember. And Jack Higgins kicked the sealer with about 40 seconds to go. And I thought, I'm scratching my, and I remember because I had to do interviews in the rooms after that game with some of the players. And even then, when I went up to them, they're like, geez, that was tough, wasn't
too
it,
close,
to watch
yeah.
as a fan. Brad Crouch was like, nah, that was shit, wasn't it, boys? I'm like, yeah, it was pretty shit. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like we played against Geelong. We lost by like 7 points. We played Port. We lost by 10, both away. We played GWS away. We lost by a point. We've played some good teams and we beat Collingwood. So we lift for the big games. It's the Saturday, you know, against bottom six teams that maybe won't draw a big crowd. This is where we struggle a little bit. You know what I mean? It's just the energy to rock up and get the job done well and treat it like it's, because it is an important game. But it's just that I just feel like we tend to, I don't know, get sucked into playing maybe a shortcut brand of football, you know, because we think we should just rock up and win. And I hope we don't do that this week. That's my biggest worry, is that complacency. And then, yeah, North, you know, I'm sure you're the type of team that you get a sniff and you're in the game. And that's what happened last year. We gave you a sniff, I remember. And before I knew it, we were 20 points down. I thought, shit, we're losing this. So hopefully it's not a repeat of that. But yeah, a bit nervous, I'll be honest.
I was terrified watching that game because, look, as North fans, we know we're not going to hold the lead, even against Fremantle when we were 40-odd up. We could have been 60 up. We've missed 3 shots, pretty gettable shots, and we could have been 60 up, and we gave them 2 goals in the last couple of minutes, classic North, just to give them a sniff. Yeah. And I remember at halftime we were chatting to some of the podcast listeners at the game who we meet outside Bay 29, and we're all just like, it's not enough. It's just not enough. And it wasn't by a long, long way, to be honest. And the thing about this week's game, and I'll get you to tell us how the Saints sort of play a little bit, but from what I've seen, obviously we all know Ross Lyon, defensive masterclass sort of thing. It's not very exciting football to watch, but it does get results at times. Mm. And the thing that I'm pretty worried about, me and Marnie actually had a, my co-host here, actually had a, a difference of opinion on this, where I feel like the Saints, how they play, is the worst team we could possibly play, because the only way I see us winning a game is if there's also a very attacking heavy team with a bad defense, and for one day they're just not on and they can't kick straight. I don't see how we can't break down, you know, anything at the moment with our attack, let alone a good defensive team. I don't see how we score against you guys, because we can't put up scores anyway. And if defending is your main thing and attack maybe is what lacks with the Saints, we let teams look like attacking juggernauts every week. So I feel like this is poised for, you know, another 50 plus sort of thing. I know you won't, you probably don't feel that way with the nerves for the game, but tell me how the Saints are playing and maybe a little evaluation of the season so far.
Yeah, the way we're playing, I think a lot of people will say Ross is defensively minded, but I think he's quickly come out a few times this year and just said, you know, that's not really the way we want to play. You know, we've drafted a lot of runners. We want to be a very high octane running aggressive team through the middle of the ground. What, like the game against Collingwood, we had Liam Henry, with Darcy Wilson, we had Nasir Wanganimlia, Brad Hill. We had one of the fastest teams on the deck in the comp. We lose Liam Henry, we lose Mason Wood. A lot of that running power changes, and we've reverted back to a bit more of a defensive mind, because we are playing quite a young team. People forget, last week against Port, we had, I think, 8 players less than 50 games or something, which was third or fourth youngest of the round. It's only North and really Hawthorn West Coast kind of below that. We're in the bottom four for age, but yet we're treated like we should be, like we're batting outside our weight division a little bit with the team that we're actually putting out there. So I think we've done well. 2-5 probably. I would have liked to have been maybe 3-4 or something like that. I think we probably dropped Essendon and the Bulldogs games that I would have tipped us to win. And the Essendon game, we were winning all day and we let them overrun us with 2 minutes to go. So that was a hard one to take. But going into this game, I think we should get Max King back, so that'll help. Mason Wood, I've heard, is fit and will play, which is massive. And then I think out of that, Paddy Dow might make his Saints debut. We've actually got a lot of good senior players coming back, hopefully, this week. So I'm not too worried about the way we play, but you said it before, we defend really well, but we keep teams in it because we just don't maximize when we have momentum in the game. So, you know, Carlton, when they've got 10 minutes of control, they'll pile 6 goals onto you and you're out. You know, there's 40 points, it's game over. With us, we might kick 1 or 2 goals in that 10, 15-minute period. All you need is a good 5 or 10-minute period yourself and the game's back on. And you're like, great. All that dominance from St Kilda has amounted to literally nothing on the scoreboard. And the Essendon game was exactly that. We dominated. On, like, if you watched it without a scoreboard on the screen, you'd think Saints are up by 10 goals. And then you look at it and you go, scores are level, and then Bombers win, like with a minute to go. And you think, geez, that's classic Saints. You know, we just, I think we've averaged 10 goals a game this year. We're, you know, defending very well. And that means we're probably averaging maybe 11 goals against, but that's not sustainable, not against the best teams. Ross knows that. I do want to use this week as a way to get a bit more momentum going forward. You know, I don't want it to be an easy kill. I still want to feel like we've put in for the game. I don't want it to be like we rock up and North are just bad and we win and we don't learn anything. I still want to go into the game and put our stamp on it. I don't want to win because you're bottom four. Do you know what I mean? I want to win because we're switched on. So, and I haven't seen that since round two. So it's been a little while. But yeah, I mean, North's midfield, our midfield's a weakness. You know, everyone knows that. And yours isn't really. I mean, I don't know. You tell me. Is your mid, like, I feel like on paper that they look pretty good. Like they'd stack up well against us. Are they performing? Are they living up to? I guess they're not. I mean, based on.
Yeah, everything. I mean, it's as you spot on. It's on paper. I'm like LDU, Wardlaw, Tom Powers had a breakout year. Simpkin on paper. I'm like, all right, we've got something. You're throwing Zerha through there. They've been awful, mate. Awful. Cannot defend out of the center square at all. I think we're the lowest, by far the lowest pressure team in the league. LDU had a good game last week. Other than that, he's been really poor this season. He hasn't looked like he's really been trying and putting an effort. I know it's easy to say as a fan, but the contested ball isn't there for us. We're awful contestedly. And, you know, it's watching us in the center square, we just let it walk out. There's no pressure on the backside of the contest. We go for it, and if we don't win it, there's no chance that we're turning it over. Every single game we've gone into saying, I think our midfield looks better on paper, except for maybe the Blues and the Giants. Our midfield always looks pretty good and looks like it'll stack up, and then you watch the game and you know what? Clearance-wise, we actually do okay, but it's what we do. It's usually a hack kick forward or a long kick into the 50 and it gets intercepted and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So no, our midfield's really, really underperformed, and it's definitely been the most disappointing thing this year, because you're right, on paper and for a team that's trying to build from the midfield out, apparently it's been pretty woeful. So, you know, that should be an area of strength for us, and it's definitely not. As we know, the back line, I think individually isn't too bad, but the system, with how quickly the midfield lets it get down there and whatever scheme or zone we're trying to play back there just doesn't work. Max King being back terrifies me, and I know he's only just coming back from injury and he's a bit injury prone and sometimes can't kick and stuff like that, but I could see him on for seven or eight, to be honest. I don't think we've got anyone down there. Charlie Compton, I really love down there, but he seems to be more of an interceptor, not as much of one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Callum Dawson's probably our best one-on-one defender, but he's injured at the moment. If Aiden Corr is on him, I mean, Aiden Corr is arguably the worst player in the AFL, which is very biased because I can't stand him, but I just, he's not good, man. And I don't see how we stop anyone, let alone that guy. Like Mason Wood, classic against North, probably puts on a clinic. And if you're getting those senior players back, that definitely makes me a little bit more worried for the result.
Yeah, we are generally pretty tall. I know you said you guys are, as a list aren't. So, you know, hopefully Rowan Marshall plays. He was a bit sore on the weekend. Tom Campbell, as you would know very well, he had a huge game at Sandy. So we might, I don't know if we'd rest Rowe and give Tom Campbell a go, but he's a big unit. Jack Steele wasn't great, so I've heard whispers that maybe he's kind of touch and go. But we have Caminiti, we have Membry, we have hopefully King, Sharman, Filippo, Owens. That's six players above 186, 187, obviously a few above 194. So we're quite tall. If you win the clearance and you're hacking it, I'm hoping that we have enough class on the outside with Brad Hill in good form, Nasiah, hopefully Mason Wood back, like I said. So hopefully we can just transition really well, and then it's just about maximizing the entries. You know, against the Bulldogs even 2 weeks ago, it was 7-1 at quarter time. We had the same amount of inside 50s. You wouldn't know it looking at the game. People would think, Saints, defensive, blah, blah, blah. We had 16 or 17. They had 16 or 17, and they just went in and converted at like 70%, and we converted at like whatever it is, 20%, whatever. So we need to get better there. But, it's not going to be one for the neutral, is it? It's just going to be the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I went with a bunch of mates. So I got a few Saints supporter mates, and we went to the Auburn Hotel, I think, and to watch the first Saints North game last year. And we were just sitting there going, what are we watching? Lord. Like, I think it's got, in recent history, it's got to be the worst game of football for both. Like, I know we're bad, but like just for both sides, it was the sloppiest, most disgusting game I can remember for a long time.
Good Friday. Do you remember that a few years ago? Oh, you pantsed us. And even that was an absolute shocker. And I think that was the last time we had a Good Friday game. They gave us the flick pretty quickly.
We've still got it, mate. I don't even know.
You've got it with Carlton. So that's been going very going nicely. Great. But it's, I think both sets of supporters are just going into this. I don't even know what, I think we both probably don't even know what to expect, to be honest, because it's, like you said, one of those fixtures where we could be flying, I reckon. We could be top of the ladder, undefeated, and then we play you, and then it's just, what is this game? Like, how every, and it's under the roof. That's the most bewildering thing, is most of these games are under the roof. It's a perfect deck, and players are dropping chest marks and missing kicks, handballs that are 2 meters and going to someone's ankles. You're like, what is going on? And the pressure's low. You know?
So I agree with
hopefully
that.
Hopefully it's a good game.
Hopefully. I mean, look, like you said, I'm weirdly, I'm not confident that we're going to win. There's no, in my mind, no chance.
Say it, go,
game.
Go. No, go, no. Go, say it.
But I'm always kind of confident against the Saints, and not because, and this team has shown that, you know, I'm not going to tip us to win a game for the rest of the year. I'm not stupid, but I'm always weirdly confident against the Saints, and I don't know why. I think it's because, and you, maybe tell me what you think of this. Like, a lot of last year, the Saints were in the finals for the majority of the year, and no one was really confident in them. And this year, it kind of feels the same. Like, people just don't rate the Saints maybe as highly as they should. Why do you think? Why do you think that is?
It's just because, well, last year, that I thought it was hard. We were hard done by there because we were in the finals. We were in the top eight for every single week of the season. Only, I think, Collingwood and potentially Melbourne were the only other two teams to do it, right? So we were in good company there. We started the season red hot. But I think it's just, mate, it's just our history, to be honest. It's just the bad luck over the years, the drafting. We've done that very poorly, missed opportunities in grand finals. People love to bring up what happened 30 years ago to make it somewhat relevant to why we might be failing on the weekend. It's like, no, that's a different time, different coaches, different playing group. But when you've only got one premiership, that's just, you know, we would have to have a dynasty for supporters to give us any sort of credit. That's just the way it is. If we went on a 5-6 game winning streak now, no one would bat an eyelid. No one would say anything. You know, they'll say, who did they play? And it's like, well, it doesn't matter if Collingwood or Carlton go on that run, they're premiership favorites, but we don't get that treatment. And that's fine. That's the underdog sort of mentality.
Fine, but you want to sort of be acknowledged a little bit, don't you? Because we've done that in the past. Like, I guess those 2013 to 16, 17 years, we made a couple of prelims and stuff. Mate, no one I know even remembers we made those prelims. No one knows how good we were at that point. And I guess that is like us, you guys, Bulldogs, we're probably the ones that maybe Melbourne, when they weren't quite as good, like if they drop down a little bit to pushing for the eight, they'll be the same. You know, we just don't get that love. And it is good, but there are times, because I want all that pressure like I'm sure the Carlton fans are putting on them? Not really, but it also is nice to sort of be acknowledged a little bit. I've got a question for you. And I've talked, I'm a barber, right? And I talk a lot of footy at work. And obviously the Saints haven't won a premiership for a very, very long time. And we've had a lot more success, but we're obviously in the pits right now. I always have this debate. Who's happier, North fans or Saints fans? Because is it the longevity of just always, I know you had like the 2009, 2010, but it's been very like mid-pack the whole way. And we've either been like prelims and consistent finals runs or just scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, what do you think about that? Because not necessarily what you would rather be, I guess, because you'd always rather be a Saints fan. But I don't know. I think it's a very interesting conversation of two very different teams, but both of us are unsatisfied.
Absolutely. I was going to say neither. Like, if that's the answer, to be honest.
I kind of feel the same.
Like, when was your last flag? Was it 1999? Jeez, I can't remember. That was just guess. But yeah. So I would have been, 7 years old, 6 years old when that happened. I don't know. I think it's a really good question. It's depressing to think about. Like, I feel like since 2000, I think we've been the better team. Like in terms of we've made grand finals and our best teams were better than any of North's best teams. Like 2009 and 2010 beats a lot of premiers of recent years, to be honest. Like that's how good we were back then, which hurts me to say because we didn't get any sort of trophy, any silverware out of that. But I don't know. I think North fans at least have something to look back on. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're having a bad day, go back and watch some, I don't know, watch some Wayne Carey highlights or whatever you want. Glenn Archer highlights. Scott Thompson? Go watch some Scott Thompson highlights.
Get headlocked by
what a legend. Who else
watch
was
some
there?
Watch some Mason Wood highlights maybe.
Yeah, Daniel Wells in his prime.
God, he was good.
Silky mover. It's that. Whereas for me, it's like I've seen like my highlights. If I'm having a bad week, I'll watch 04, 05, 09, 10, and that's it. Like there's nothing else for me to really look at. Maybe last year, but or 2020, but even then, it's COVID year, so it doesn't really count. You've got the history. I think we hopefully will have more recent success. I'm hoping in the next 5 years, if we sort our stuff out, which we are slowly, we just need to hit the draft and maybe trade in. We need some class. You know,
every team is like,
we need some A graders. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think
we're vanilla, you know, we're a little bit vanilla and we're not one paced, but we are just good across the board. We need some game breakers, and that could be an Owen, could be a Filippo, could be a Max King.
Yep.
They just are very young and inexperienced, so we need to be patient.
Yeah, I agree. I think when I asked you before, like we were talking about what is it for the Saints that doesn't quite get them over the hump, I think that's it. I think you've got such a solid team. And I agree, King could be a star. You know, Filippo, Owens as well, obviously. Maybe Owens and King for me are probably the ones that excite me the most. And Wanganeen Malera as well, just a really exciting player. But, you know, St Kilda have a bit of a recent history of giving like A-grade contracts to B-grade players. And I think like your Hannah Breezy, Paddy Ryders and all that sort of stuff. So if they could ever sort that out and just be able to give those contracts to, because I thought Hannah Breezy's a star, to be honest. And I was like, wow, like they've gone out and got a really good player there. And it just didn't work. If they can ever nail one or two of those to get the icing on the top of this thing, I think you can be really competitive and really good.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, I think the last few years, at least draft-wise, we haven't had the strongest draft hands because we never quite bottom out to get those top five draft picks.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think we've done really well. We got lucky. We got Windy and Owens through the academy, so that was finally some luck. I think next year maybe a father-son in with Justin Peckett's son, hopefully, or even Spider's son, Spider Everett, coming through, which would be nice. But then we've got Filippo who dropped at, you know, 10. We got Naz at 11, I think it was, and that was questioned. Or was it 7? I can't remember, first rounder. But, we've done well with what Darcy Wilson. I think we lucked out. Ari Schoenmaker, no one wanted him because of his history, but I think he's going to be a gun. Collard, Angus Hastie. So we're building a very strong foundation. And the good thing is they're all getting games now. So Ross's philosophy at the moment is bloodying the kids, winning games and improving football. Those are three things that he said last week in his presser after we lost to Port. And he's doing all of them. We're blooding kids. We are winning games still without being blown out of the water.
Yeah, it'll
and come. Behind the scenes, we are slowly improving our football and the way we go about it. So I think without Ross, to be honest, we probably lose the Port, GWS and Geelong games by another 8 or 9 goals with any other coach in the comp, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he's keeping us in games long enough that we can win, but I don't want to be clutching to, you know, hanging on for dear life in games. I want to go out and blow some teams away. You know, everyone wants a good blowout and to get some percentage. And as much as I, you know, I hope North do well, I hope it's not this week.
Yeah, I don't think it will be, mate. So before we tip it, before we tip the game.
You shut that down pretty quick.
I'm so defeated. You have no idea. Like I'm so flat on this team. I think the future's fine. I'm not worrying about the future, but the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to be bottom four, I reckon. And, you know, it will be fine one day. And I really believe that. I still think Clarko's the right guy. Realistically, Clarkson's only been here 12 months after his, you know, stuff last year and everything and one draft. It takes time, as we said, with the D's decade-long thing and that sort of stuff. So I believe in the future, but, this will be a percentage booster for you, mate. Look, I don't like big going against my team. Last question before we tip it. Is Jimmy Webster coming back this week? Is Jimmy Webster going to go on that field, do you reckon?
Nah, no chance.
Because I don't think he will either. I don't think they'd put him back in for that.
Nah, they wouldn't. They'll wait till next week, I reckon, or the week after. I don't think we really even have that many matchups for him. I mean, I think Liam Stocker does a great job. Ben Patton actually played for Sandy on the weekend, had a big game. So if anything, Ben Patton could come in and play a back pocket midfield role. But Jimmy Webster's definitely not coming in this week. I'd be staggered. And I knew he was going to get the 7 because the AFL are predictable like that. And knew, round 8, he's coming back.
Yeah.
But, I don't think he's coming back. I think he might even play a week at Sandy just to get his legs right and then come back in next week.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Look, the storyline's great. Now, I would actually kind of like to see him play just to see if our team responds physically at all as well. But I kind of, one, I think in the modern game, that's kind of dead anyway. And two, I wouldn't back us to be physical at all anyway.
The Essendon edge or the North Melbourne niggle. That's what it's called, North niggle. I like that.
Yeah, wow. Well, we definitely don't have any of that, mate. We better get down to training and I'll have a chat to him about it. And maybe I'll title that in the episode and see if a few of the players catch on to that.
Sniggle.
So give me a prediction then. Give me a score line and a winner.
Okay. So score line exactly, because we're not a high scoring team, but we defend well. So I think we'll probably, I think we'll kick our highest score of the year, but it won't crack 100. I think we'll kick 95 points, and I think we'll keep you – I think you'll kick 50. So I think a 45-point win would be nice. I think bigger would be great, but I think just given the way we play, I can't see us kicking 140, 150 points or whatever you concede on average. I think – what do you concede on average? 120, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's something about that, yeah.
Around the 20 goal mark. Be nice, but we don't kick straight enough. And we're just not ruthless enough in front of goal, unless Max King comes in and just adds 8 or 9 goals that we haven't had for a few weeks.
Very, very
I'll positive. I'll take a 40 to 50 point win, to be honest. Straight away. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you, to be honest. I can't see us putting up a score on the board. High 40s, early 50 points for us, I think. Even if we do get a bit of North ball going, like last week we still put up 80 odd points or something like that, which isn't too bad, but not against the Saints in the way they play. And I think, I think your prediction's pretty spot on. If King doesn't play, I think you'll get, maybe between 90 and 100 points. But if King does play, he could easily kick 6 or 7 plus, and then you go into the 110s, 120s. So, look, I'll back – this is the state of North Melbourne. I'll back my boys and go for a 45-point loss.
Oh, I was like, geez, he's gone 45-point win.
No, God, no.
Who realistically, when you look at the fixture in the next maybe five, six games, just before we wrap up, who's the team you look at and go – like, did you go into the Hawthorn game thinking, yeah, we're definitely winning this? Or do you think –
not definitely, but I was confident. You thought,
big chance. Yeah. Okay. Do you play them again?
Yes, we do. Not till the last round. West Coast is probably the only one. We've got the Gold Coast and Essendon coming up as well. Essendon is similar to the Saints. I sort of feel confident, but not really this year, to be honest. I'd say the Gold Coast as well, maybe. But, yeah, I think we've got West Coast just before the bye. So that's probably the only other one I'm looking at and feel like we might be able to do something. But
I've got a show that I do with a few other channels on a Tuesday night, Footy Abroad, and they had our sort of like risky picks, like risky tips from last week, and mine was actually North against Adelaide.
Sorry, mate.
I actually thought I could have been quietly on for that because I'm like, it's a kind of – where was it? Was it Tassie?
Yeah.
Was it Tassie? Yeah, so it was in Tassie. I'm like, Adelaide won't really get up for this. They've won at the time, one win and North a zero. I'm like, they're one win better than North. Like, surely this game's a bit closer than it should be. But Adelaide have got firepower. Do you know what I mean? They're never short for goals. Our percentage is
like 57 as well. So it's
So that backfired for me. But I gave you guys some love last week, and I'm gonna cop it tomorrow on the show. Off the back of that, but that's what it is.
Well, never ever tip North Melbourne again, mate. There's some advice to leave you on. But look, I'll say thank you for coming on as well. We'll wrap it up here. But yeah, thank you for your time, and keep doing what you're doing. Saints TV is one of the bigger in the scene, and hopefully North Melbourne can do a bit better one day, and we can replicate something like what you've done, mate. But yeah, I really appreciate you coming on, and thank you for your time. And hopefully, no Max King, and we can limit that scoreline a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for having me, mate. Great work.
Thank you, mate. Okay, thank you so much to Jake for giving me some of his time. I know they're very busy down there at Saints TV. Once again, royalty in this space. So very, very pleased to have Jake on the pod. So thank you once again, good sir. Now, let's get into what I think this team should be. So I've got a couple I've made my own team, right? I've gone coach, and I'm going to try and explain super quickly maybe what I would be doing if I was Alistair Clarkson. Have I won 4 premierships? No, I have not, okay? But I've watched more North Melbourne than Alistair Clarkson has, maybe. I don't even know. This is the team, if I was the coach, that I would like to pick for this week, and I think structurally maybe works a little bit better. Once again, I'm not a coach. I just watch football from my house and the stadium sometimes. The back line. I want Archer, Combin, McDonald, Bergman, Biggie, and Fisher there. Now, we're bringing in Archer and we're bringing in Bergman. Archer is going to give us toughness, fight. He's going to be able to lock down someone and grow into that role. We need a guy like that with a bit of heart, knows North Melbourne, plays like his dad. The fans will get around it. And I think defensively, which is our weakest area, maybe beside the midfield, I think he's just going to bring a lot of just a solid player who can get stuck in, tackle, chase, smother, all that sort of stuff, grit and grind sort of stuff. Compton holds his spot. McDonald, I think Luke McDonald is very harshly done by. Is he playing as well as he used to? No, we need him on the field for leadership. Bergman comes in. Miller Bergman needs to be the distributor off the back line with Zach Fisher. The one problem I have with this team is that Scott, Sheasel, McKercher and Fisher are all attacking-minded players and they're all playing in the back line. No wonder we can't defend. So Bergman's a good defensive player. He's got height about him, but his disposal is very, very good as well. The amount of games last year, he was above 85, 90% disposal efficiency with good numbers racking up the ball as well. I think it's time to give him a shot. He showed what he can do last year. I liked him. He was harshly done by last year getting dropped and not coming back in. So I would like to see him, okay? This keeps Archer, Comben, McDonald and Biggie as our defensive, you know, sort of minded players back there. You know what I mean? Bergman is also defensive minded. So five out of the six of that back six are defensive-minded players. But we've got distribution in Bergman and Fisher. You've got the height in Biggie and Comben. McDonald is leadership down there. And Archer just brings fight, toughness, and energy. Okay? Then I would prefer like Dawson to be in there, of course. Like when Dawson and Logue are available, that shifts up. But this is what we've got available right now. So through the center line, on the wings in the middle, I want Powell on the wing. I'm going to explain that in a second. I want Powell on the wing. LDU in the guts, McKercher on the other wing, okay? McKercher is too good of a ball user to be kicking the ball out of our back line. We need different players kicking the ball into our 50 because I don't think our forward 50 has functioned too badly. They just don't get any delivery. So if McKercher and guys like that are hitting Larky on the chest, we're going to be much more solid, okay? I want Powell pushing straight into that midfield. Our biggest problem is, you know, the ball goes up and we let it run out of our midfield so, so quickly. Fisher can push up when the bounce happens to try and be that guy to deter the easy transition into our forward line. Or Bergman can do that too as back flankers. Biggie, don't push up the ground as much as you did last game, mate. It was very strange. Powell can dart straight into that midfield and be a receiver when someone wins the ball. So we've got more numbers around the ball. Our half forward line, Harry Sheasel, okay? Cam Zerha, Jai Simkin. I want Sheasel to be that that link up from the midfield to the forward line. We may as well try it. The dude can run all day. He can run up and down that wing. If Powell is cutting more into the midfield and we have someone on that wing, Sheasel can go up and down there floating to receive the ball from the back line and be part of the link up getting into our 50. Can he hit someone in the corridor, get a handball off, receive the ball back and then kick it into our 50? Zerha, you know, we've got no more key position players. I really wanted to throw Finbar in here, but realistically, that's not going to happen. Simkin as well, put him on the half forward line. Once again, you stay in that midfield. You dart into that midfield. Go and get the ball and get it to McKercher's, who is on the same side of the ground as you, to be able to transition that thing forward. You get the ball. You run straight into that midfield and the ball goes up and you let McKercher run past you and get the ball from people. You know what I mean? Now, that will leave the forward line more open if Simkin and Sheasel are pushing into the midfield. Good, because Dersma, Larky, Curtis and Zerha can lead and they've got more space to lead into. And if Sheasel and Powell, Sheasel and McKercher more likely, sorry, like Powell's a decent distributor too, but if Sheasel and McKercher especially are getting the ball on the wings in the midfield into our forward line, I trust that they're going to hit our forwards. I think our forwards need to lead more, but other than that, the forward line's functioned okay. Defensive pressure needs to be better, but I believe in Curtis. I believe Simkin needs to step up as a leader and he knows that. Bull needs to step up, but Sheasel being around there is going to give fight. Now, our ruckman is Tristan Jerry. That goes without saying. Hugh Greenwood and George Wardlaw are the two people in the middle. Hugh Greenwood is in there for one reason and one reason only. A big body, mature midfielder who can get on the ground, rip that ball out and get it to LDU, to Wardlaw, to McKercher, to Powell, to Simkin, Sheasel, whoever is around that midfield, whatever side it gets ripped out of. He's going to tackle as well. Put him on the backside of the contest if we don't get the tap and he's going to be able to tackle people. He's the only one I believe is going to lay enough tackles besides Jerry in this team. Wardlaw goes without saying, the Warlord. We love him. Great game last week. Let's keep improving. On the bench, Hardiman deserves to keep his place. I couldn't find a spot for him in the back line just yet, but he'll get plenty of time down there. Hardiman played really well last week. We've got one. Eddie Ford comes back in to rotate through the forward line. Lazaro keeps his spot. Bailey Scott is also on the bench. We need the run. I just don't know if I see him fitting in at the moment. You know what I mean? But he's too good of a player not to put in there. And Dylan Stevens is on the sub. He's the sub, okay? Just for extra run, if something's not working with Powell or Simkin in that midfield wing area, we can sub somebody and put him on for run and actually can affect the game a little bit. Then we can move a Greenwood forward if a Simkin goes in the middle and there's more puzzle pieces to play. Core, Tucker, Phillips and Drury are the ones that will go out from last week's team. I know it's harsh. Core, he's going to play every week, but my personal opinion, not good enough, doesn't bring leadership at all and needs – we just have other players that are better than him. Tucker, his numbers are fine, doesn't impact the game. Phillips, I really want Phillips to get a run in this team, but I'm not sure. Maybe Phillips for Lazaro, you could swap. Other than that, I don't think anybody else is worthy of maybe going out for Phillips. And Drury – harsh, but once again, if we're putting Sheasel up near that forward line a little bit more, there had to be someone. If you swap Lazaro and Drury, wouldn't be upset as well. Like Drury, Phillips, Lazaro, I think are vying for that last spot in this hypothetical team I'm making. So that was a very quick explanation, but please let me know what you think of that team, if you think I'm crazy or not. To recap, Archer, Comben, McDonald, Bergman, Biggie, Fisher in the back line, Powell, LDU, McKercher along the center, Sheasel, Zerha, Simkin, Dersma, Larky, Curtis in the forward line, Jerry, Greenwood, Wardlaw to round out that midfield, and Hardiman, Ford, Lazaro, Scott on the bench with Dylan Stevens as the sub. There you go. Let me know what you think. You think I'm crazy, you think I'm a genius. It's one or the other. There's no two ways about it. Let's react to this team. That's what I want. Let's see what Alistair Clarkson wants. Interesting. Okay. Wow. Okay. Toby Pink is in. Liam Shields is in. Jackson Archer is in. Jaden Stevenson is in. Lazaro, Nguyen, Phillips, Stevens out. Jimmy Webster's in too. Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Let's dissect this. Don't love the inclusion of Toby Pink. I think Biggie's better and deserves more of a chance. I think he was okay last week. Defensive lapses 100%. Think he offers more. We may as well give Toby a chance though. Admin 3 will be thrilled with that. Liam Shields, not over Hugh Greenwood for me. A bad selection there. I agree with the leadership. Hugh Greenwood actually has a role to play. I don't think Liam Shields does besides leadership, but I like Liam Shields. You know, he got involved with the podcast and everything like that. Love him, but I don't agree with this. I don't know what Hugh Greenwood has done. And look, I'm not even saying this, guys, because of Marnie. I know Marnie is on the Hugh Greenwood train. I genuinely think he's got a part to play in this team because nobody is that Cunnington-esque big-bodied midfielder. We don't have a player who can do it. So, and that's our biggest problem in the midfield. That's why it goes out so quickly. Do you know what I mean? Love Jackson Archer, the inclusion. I called it here first. Fantastic. Love that from him. You know, you always know that a player is probably going to play when they start posting a few days before saying, Jackson Archer is vying for a spot in this week's team. Well, why would North post that and then not pick him? Jaden Stevenson, don't like it. Nah, Jaden Stevenson's done. Yeah, not sure what he brings and offers. Don't think his spot has warranted it in the twos. Yeah, another poor selection, if you ask me. Yeah, don't like it. Don't like it. Agree with Archer. Wouldn't put any of those other guys in. Lazaro, incredibly stiff. Stevens hasn't been playing well, but still better than Stevenson and better than Shields. Will Phillips, we could see that coming from a mile away. I think that might be Will Phillips' last game for the club if I'm going to be overdramatic. Guys like Darcy Tucker, Aiden Corr, literally can't do anything wrong apparently. So pretty poor standard setting there. I like that there's been different changes made, but yeah, not overly thrilled with that. Pretty disappointing, to be honest. Very disappointing. Jimmy Webster's in. Wow. I can't believe that they've put him in. Let's see what happens with that. Will North Melbourne actually have some fight and go at Jimmy Webster a little bit? I don't think so. That doesn't sound like the modern game to me, but would love to see it. Would love to see it. Max King, that's the one I didn't want to see. He'll kick 6 to 7 plus, unfortunately, on this back line. It's pretty weak. Mason Wood, we're ready for a Mason Wood clinic against North Melbourne. Jack Hayes, don't really know who that is. They haven't – what's their ruck? Rowan Marshall has been named. He's been speculative all week, but he has been named. So, wow. Disappointed with that selection, guys. God, what? Toby Pink and Liam Shields and Stevenson? Ugh. Whatever, whatever. Yeah. I just don't understand the selections, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a four-time premiership coach, but I do not understand. Okay. Let's get into a little bit of news before the tips and then we will go. Eddie Maguire making some incredibly idiotic comments. Pretty standard Maguire sort of stuff, to be honest with you. He basically said, I don't have the quote in front of me, but you guys all saw it, close to a flag posted up and I shared it, saying that all the interstate, what do they call them, presidents and multiple Victorian presidents aren't thrilled about 19 teams being in. And one has to go, suggesting that North Melbourne is the one that's going to go. This is rubbish. Because 24 hours before that, he made a quote saying that North should establish themselves at Arden Street but become the team of the North, set up academies in Northern Victoria and all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, it's just garbage. This is what the media – and, look, my flat earth is media, which is true, but I ramble on. You guys know what I think of the media. You can't trust anything they say, and quotes like this are why. We all know that North is doing very well off the field. We're structurally with Viney and Clarko and Sonia and all those guys, we're in a really, really good place. North's not going anywhere, guys. We've got more history than the Bulldogs and the Saints combined. We're profitable, unlike St Kilda. Yes, we aren't great right now, but we have more of a future than both of those teams, I hope. So, look, disregard anything the media is saying right now. Just ignore it and don't comment, don't react, because that's why they keep posting it. But these comments are rubbish. Going to the member Q&A. Hopefully all you guys have watched the member Q&A. And if you have not, please, please go and watch it. Now, myself and Marnie, we're either going to do a separate episode on this if she's got time tomorrow to record, or we're going to talk about the Q&A more in depth after the St Kilda game, okay, as part of that podcast about the game. I'm going to touch on a couple of little things here, but if you want to hear our in-depth thoughts about what was said by Todd and Clarko, that will be coming very, very soon. Marnie has not replied to me yet and told me if she can record tomorrow. So if she can, maybe Saturday morning that will be out. If not, we'll just put it as part of the podcast on the weekend after the Saints game. I guess the most interesting thing that was said to me was that they do believe – one of the biggest questions I had was, does Clarko know that this is how bad it was going to be? And he sort of said, yeah. He sort of said, I've been through this before. I said on the podcast last week that you look at the D's having 10 years to rebuild, the Blues having 20 years to rebuild, the Tigers probably having 30 years to rebuild, and North has a year and a half under Clarkson, who hasn't even coached 20 games yet, I think, and we're getting slaughtered. This is classic media versus North Melbourne stuff. We know where the kicking bag, the punching bag, all that sort of stuff. Now, the thing... I can't remember the person's name, and once again, we'll go into this a little bit more, but they have, with the leadership, they have a leadership coach sort of there, one of the best in the industry in Australia, apparently, teaching these guys leadership, how to be leaders. I loved hearing that. To know they're actively doing something about that is great. The other thing that gave me a lot of confidence was Clarko in the press conferences have been saying, stay the course the entire time and we're getting sick of it. But he's not wrong, because that's all we can really do. We've got a foundation to build off here with Sheezel, Wardlaw, McKercher, Dersma, Larky, Simkin is signed up regardless of his form right now, Powell signing on, Jerry signing on. We've got a foundation. Our problem is no one over 25 is any good. What they said was Clarko's been through the Hawthorn rebuild. Todd Viney's been through the Hawthorn and the Demons rebuild. Jen Watt has been through the Demons rebuild. Jed Adcock has been through the Lions rebuild. Xavier Clark has been through the Tigers rebuild and the three premierships. So we have the right people here, or the people that are experienced in this way. We have no choice but to trust them. If you haven't watched the Q&A, please do, because a lot of people messaged me and said they've got a lot more faith in what we're doing right now. They put into perspective timelines and things like that. And look, Clarkson did miracles at Hawthorn in 4 years. We're not turning around in 4 years. Did we really ever think we would? Like I said last podcast, if we all agree that Clarkson was the start of the rebuild, then we need to treat it like that. We can't complain about the years, the noble years and the Reshaw years. Yes, we had to experience that. We had to sit there and experience that, and that was bad. But this is where we are, and we have to move on and make sure we support this team, because they're not going to get better by us turning on them. The media is giving them enough pelters. They need support from us. So those were some things I picked up from the Q&A, and I really, really enjoyed. Once again, we're going to go more in depth either in a separate episode tomorrow in a couple of days, or the Saints review. So there are just some quick thoughts. Now we're going to go into the tips and we're going to leave you alone. Don't worry. I'm going to head off in a second. I need to go and edit this and go and get some dinner. Okay, tips for the week. What I'm realizing is I'm an awful tipper. I'm shocking. I go in so confident, which I'm going to do right now. But my tips are awful. That being said, my tips are 100% guaranteed, and you should completely copy my tips right now. Now, I've been saying all day, Adelaide are going to beat Port Adelaide, and I've just looked at the score, 24-7 already. Port Adelaide do not have the nous to do it when it matters. We saw that last year in the finals, out in straight sets. We saw that with Horn Francis and how he left the club, and he doesn't have the guts to be able to do it when it matters. He needs to be in a midfield with two players who are Brownlow quality to support him, to make him look better. Yes, I'm salty. No, I'm not. I'm joking. I know some of you guys will get triggered by that, some of you will not, so pick your poison. I think Adelaide are going to win this game. I just don't think Port have it in big games. I don't think they've got the players with the guts and determination to be able to do it. And they showed that in the finals. And I do believe the thing about Horn Francis, I think he's a very overrated player, even though I do think he's really good. And putting my bias aside, very good offensively, but can't kick, doesn't do anything defensively. The media sort of jerk him off for some reason. Well, I don't really know. Adelaide will win that game. Carlton will win that game, but I'm not certain about it. But I would tip Carlton personally. Collingwood, underwhelming. If Carlton didn't win the GWS game a couple of weeks ago, I would be more wary about this game. This is a game anything can happen. I'm going to back the Blues because they got a big win against the Giants, and they want to bounce back after the Cats. Sydney GWS, very exciting game. There's some cracker games on, isn't there? I don't know. I'm on the Swans this year. The Swans, obviously, unless North decide to make a late finals push, the Swans are sort of my team I'm kind of on board with. I don't know why. I just like their players. I'll tip the Giants. Oh, my light just went off. I apologize for those on YouTube. I'll tip the Giants, but I don't know. It could go either way. North Saints, I did sort of make my tip. I think it'll be 40-plus to the Saints, unfortunately, especially now King's back. Geelong, can't tip against the Cats. West Coast, Essendon. Essendon will win that one. West Coast overhyped for sure. Yes, I'm salty. Frio, Richmond. Ooh. I'm going to tip Richmond. I don't know why. I'm going to tip Richmond. Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn. Western Bulldogs by a mile, and Brisbane, Gold Coast, Brisbane easily. So they're my tips for the week, guys. I'm going to leave it here. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back either with a shorter episode of the Q&A, about the Q&A, or we'll be back probably, I don't know when Marnie's going to record. We're going to record the podcast. Monday maybe, who knows. We'll post about it. You guys will see. Thank you for following us. If you're watching on YouTube and unsubscribed, please subscribe. YouTube is doing very, very well. For those who want to see my face and Marnie's face when she is here, get on the YouTube channel. It's doing very, very well. 5-star reviews and ratings and reviews on Apple and Spotify really helped me out. I went through and read a few more. Anyone who's left an Apple review, thank you so much. It actually makes me really happy, because people only leave reviews on Apple when they really mean it. So if you really mean it, leave one on Apple. And then you guys know social media. We're posting more on TikTok now. We're trying to get better quality content eventually. Yeah, Instagram, that's the place. If you guys want the most content, Instagram is definitely the most active. Twitter, Marnie really does that now. She's the Twitter god. And Facebook for all you boomers out there like myself. I'm done. See you guys. Good luck to everybody if you're going to the game or, you know, watching it at home. My parents are actually up this weekend, so I'm not sure if I can make it to the game this week, but if I can, I will. Enjoy it. Go North. Stay strong, guys. We'll get through this as a team. We love this team. We must support them. Go Roos. See ya. Bye-bye. That was good. See ya.